Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and RoniesOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
This is Saturday night, October 27th, 2012. Yes. I'm still Jeff Roney. You're still Colleen Roney.
Yeah, sort of.
Lady's in her bed, looking up at us now.
Mm-hmm. Yep, she is indeed.
So we have, we are wrestling with the kind of cold something, and also we are, the wind is drying out our sinuses, so it's definitely interesting. Okay, cool.
Yep. So,
all right. So we're going to start here. Is the first thing I do want to say is not right now, but I did purchase the URL for Once Upon a Time Radio. So next week, I'm going to kind of rebrand this show, Once Upon a Time Radio.
Yep.
So that'll be kind of different. And kind of sounds like I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I'm hearing everything fine.
Okay, good. There's something.
I just have to fix my microphone, whatever.
Okay. So it sounds like I'm... Anyway, so... I sound kind of different and strange.
That's weird. Yeah. Shouldn't.
Yeah. Okay. So that's, we're going to do that. And
did you start recording yet?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm recording for sure.
Okay, good.
And I just, yep. I sound a little weird. Anyway, so that's that. We have a few announcements and we're going to jump into the show. First off, I just want to say that Dustin Guest and Karen Patrickin are now married.
Yes, they are.
So we want to send big love,
best wishes,
to the two of you, and congratulations,
yeah,
on a new life together.
Yes.
And relationships take a lot of work. So
they do indeed. I didn't mean that to sound bad.
A lot of work, a lot of money.
No, well, yeah, you know. But I didn't mean to say that sounded bad, but
yeah.
Anyway.
So anyhow, congrats to them, and uh-huh, it was really cool because Karen, and I would imagine Dustin to some degree too, Karen does a lot of a costume fandom.
Yes.
Call it cosplay.
Yeah, yeah. He and does too.
Yeah.
I've
so
seen his costumes.
The perfect match. And at their reception, they had Vader and Stormtroopers.
That's fantastic.
So, you know, it's pretty cool. So congrats to them. I also want to wish Bree Mills a happy birthday.
Yes.
Today's her birthday.
Happy birthday, Bree.
So if anybody has a way to get to your Twitter, you can tweet out happy birthday to her. It's mm-hmm. Her Twitter handle is 4CastIsBreezy.
Yeah, the number 4.
Yep, the number 4. So if you have that handy, you can send her mm-hmm. Happy birthday. And somebody's birthday is tomorrow. I don't know.
I'm racking my brain.
Let me
I can't think.
I can't. Anyway,
it escapes me. Maybe later we'll figure it out.
Wait a minute. It's Ima. Ima's birthday is tomorrow. So early.
Happy birthday to Ima.
Early happy birthday, yep. Ima.
And, it's got to be midnight somewhere. I mean, it's got to be the 28th tomorrow, already somewhere, right?
So we'll all fly over somewhere and we'll crack some brewskis if you can drink. And we'll have a little bit of celebrating. So, anyhow, happy birthday, Ima, Bree, and again, great wedding. Congrats.
Yes.
So this weather's crazy, and I think it may be affecting some of the folks not showing up. So,
yeah, it's possible.
But yeah, if you're on that side of the nation on the East mm-hmm. Coast in the path of this storm, just be careful. So,
yeah, as one of our weather people, one of our reporters on our news station that we watch put it, she said, "For all my East Coast peeps, take care and beware of Sandy. This isn't the poodle skirt wearing Sandy. This is the biker, black leather and satin hot pants, Sandy. So she's not going to be nice to you," which I thought was kind of funny. It's a Grease reference, in case you don't know.
Yep. So, also, you know, we did tweet out ladies' Red Riding Hood costume.
Yes.
So, anyway, that's she's dressing up as Little Red Riding Hood. If we do it again, she'll probably destroy the destroy her little basket. So she pretty much
she wants to play with it. She was obsessed. I took the costume off of her and hung it up on a little hanger and put it on this. We have cabinets above our closet. And she sat and stared at it for a good solid 10 minutes and kept looking at me like, I wasn't done wearing that. So you're going to have to get that down and bring it back for me so I can play with it.
Yeah.
So I had to hide it from her.
So we're going to jump into some great emails. We have a number of them. So we're just going to jump in. This is from Jonathan.
Okay.
Says, "Dear Jeff and Colleen, I've been a longtime listener of your podcast from the beginning. I love everything you guys do. You are far too kind. I just can't say which group I am with because I love all the characters. And you're not alone because we do too."
Yeah.
"This season is great so far, and I just got finished reading the article about the new season in Entertainment Weekly. It had a sidebar of characters that might turn up, and before I read this article, I was thinking of the movie Tron. I know they had an Easter egg of sorts with the space paranoids being played by Henry, but I would like them to do an episode with Tron in it. The way I was thinking, it would be either, as Kitsis says in Entertainment Weekly, Alan Bradley being the IT guy for Storybrooke, or maybe Regina uses a spell to bring her help from the book, and it backfires to where Tron gets pulled out of the computer and somehow Henry and Charming ends up in the computer, and the whole episode is getting Charming and Henry out. I know that sounds silly, but I think they should do that. Do an episode like that. The other characters they talked about are the Little Mermaid, which weird mention of a mermaid problem
mm-hmm.
from Regina.
Season one.
But it wasn't the Little Mermaid, and I know they've talked about it.
They talked about they want to do the Little Mermaid.
But the interesting thing, I think, maybe the mermaid is with the pirates thing.
Possibly.
Again, you know, and we'll kind of talk about looking at things as an investigator. And it may be, anyway, helpful. So Tarzan, interesting. Mickey Mouse, which they did talk about the phone. They wanted to get Mickey in there. And so mm-hmm, they had the mm-hmm, phone in there mm-hmm. a number of times. Yeah. At least twice.
Yeah.
Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler has a show called Spoonful of Disney. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Wizard of Oz, which there's been kind of things here and there all along the way. And Captain Jack Sparrow. So, you know, that would be a complete tie-in.
Yeah, that'd be pretty phenomenal. I would love to see that.
Yeah.
It would be dependent in a court, and that's according to the article, on Johnny Depp playing Captain Jack, because they would not put anybody else in that role.
Right.
Don't know if he'd ever do it. I don't know. Be interesting.
You know, what they might do, again, I don't know for sure, is put in Jack's son, you know, that might look a lot like him.
They could go that route if they wanted to. Yeah. But Jack doesn't, wait, does Jack have a son?
Well. There's no rum. I don't know.
We know that Elizabeth and Will have a son.
Right.
So that could be a tie-in to pirates, but I don't know.
And he continues, only if they could get Johnny Depp. So there's
right,
it's a, and the current BBC series, Sherlock. And if I remember right, I was reading in the article, and it said initially Graham was supposed to be a Holmes-like character.
Mm-hmm, right.
But they had trouble obtaining the rights to it.
Right.
So they let it go.
That's the tough part. So. Yeah.
All right. I think they would be great characters to come in. I will try and log in tomorrow for the show. Have fun, Jonathan from Birmingham, Alabama. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks, Jonathan.
It's a great email. And lots of, you know, it's interesting. That's another thing I love about the show is you think they're all done with all the characters. And they just keep opening this box more and more and more. And all these new characters come along. So. This is from Larry, the Great White North. And it says, hi, Jeff and Colleen. I love your podcast. I only started listening a couple of weeks ago when Ima was on. And that's always a treat. Ima.
When she was calling us from Steve's, or talking about Steve's trip. Yeah.
She's giving her trip report.
Yeah.
There's others that have made trips up there that have not given me a trip report. Can you believe that?
Wow.
That is weird.
I know.
Oh, well. Anyway, since then, I've become a regular listener and really enjoyed listening to you two, except for the parts where Jeff cries. Well, if we get more trip reports, I might not. Okay, just saying.
What's wrong with you crying, though?
Well,
you're a sensitive guy.
I am a sensitive guy.
And by the way,
I don't cry all the time.
Women like that.
Well,
women want a man, they don't want a man who's a baby, but they want a man who's sensitive. Well, so, just saying.
I know. I don't cry all the time.
No.
So
rarely, actually.
Yeah. Keep up the great work. Back on September 7th, I watched next week's episode, The Doctor, being filmed at Robert Burnaby Park, actually not too far from where I live and work. Will is in his fairy tale persona. I watched it along with 9 other fans, including 6 out-of-town evil regals that were just thrilled to watch Lana perform and got to meet her later. That's
really cool.
That is really cool.
And that's an exception because it's kind of hard to meet Lana these days.
It is very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And the more things happen as it goes forward, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, let's see. We did manage to figure out what the scene was about and who Dr. Whale is, but I won't spoil it for you. Thank you. Thank you so much. There are already enough clues out there, and the previews really do give a lot away, so you should have a pretty good idea already. I will say it is a very important scene for Regina and really shows how she starts her slide from an innocent girl to the evil queen. For those evil regals out there, this episode will be a real treat to watch. So, and it's no wonder that Lana is also live tweeting tomorrow during The Doctor.
Nice.
So, I also think it's kind of funny that they named it The Doctor, you know, because there's this huge
Doctor Who thing
surging in America. So, all right. Also, love seeing Colin O'Donoghue as Captain Hook tonight. I got to meet him last Friday at Deer Lake Park. And Deer Lake. Okay. Sarah Hardy was also there, and I got to meet him as well. That's cool. He seems like a very charming guy. So, anyway. But he's not charming, character. So, all right. Interesting note, before Ima left Vancouver, she gave me a stack of photos to get autographed for her. So I asked her if she wanted one from Colin as well. She said not to bother because she was not a big Hook fan. But I defied her orders and got the autograph. Anyway, hopefully Colin will win her over. Thanks for the podcast, and I look forward to hearing you again next week. Thank you so much, Larry. And I think Hook will win her over. Not to the level of Lana, but I think up there.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, all right. The next, and Larry's a lucky guy. Larry and Sarah both are pretty lucky because they can just kind of stroll over and see some pretty amazing things.
There's a couple people up there that are fairly lucky people.
Yep.
Because they live there. They can go pretty much anytime they want.
We never went to Deer Lake Park, and that was the one thing.
No, we didn't get to.
We hit a bunch of great places, and it was really incredible. And then Sarah said, you got to go to Deer Lake Park. It's over by Burnaby Studios.
Right.
And I think they also called Bridge Studios.
The Bridge is,
yeah.
That's the name of the studio we saw.
And
they said, now filming Once Upon a Time.
Yep. I didn't know exactly where the park was in as far as where we were.
Yeah, I don't know where it was in relation either. I mean, Granville Island's not too far from there, if I remember correctly. But that was really cool. But I don't know how... I have no idea how to correlate where Deer Lake Park is from there. So.
Yep. But, I was transfixed on the green screen room with the door open. Mm-hmm. And I took a couple of pictures, and then all of a sudden these people started walking toward me, and I said, let's go.
Well, they were staring at us quite a while, I didn't want to, overstep the bounds. But we knew that that was the right sound stage because Rumpel's spinning wheel was right outside.
Yeah.
That was really...
Yep.
I wanted to steal it.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I wanted to borrow it permanently.
I know. And I think they would have known where we lived pretty quick. So, anyway. So, thank you, Larry, for that email. And thank you for being a cool host. I know others in that area kind of help out folks, but Larry was helping out and kind of being a little tour guide, and that's really cool. So, thank you for that.
Yeah.
And this is from Mike. Hello, Jeff and Colleen. This is my first contact. Actually, it says Colleen and Jeff. So you made top bill.
Oh, well, that's email. Nice. Thanks.
I just wanted to
Yeah, because normally I don't make billing.
Yes.
I usually don't make billing at all. It's usually Dear Jeff.
Well, not all the time.
Okay. A lot of times. Right. And that's okay. I'm fine with that.
Did you hit the NyQuil before the show?
No, I haven't taken a NyQuil. I should. Okay. Apparently Lady has because she's zonked.
I'm so happy with this dog is sleeping because normally
how long is that going to last?
I know that. All the people.
She's sleeping with her cow, which I think is cute. She curled up and cuddled up with her little cow. It's so cute. Like a little kid.
So to all the people and family that say, look, you need kids or whatever, this dog is treating us in the way that a kid would.
Oh, totally.
Have trouble sleeping at night, got to get up. Oh, boy. Anyways.
Yep.
So we are going through the steps. So anyway.
We are indeed.
Hello, Colleen and Jeff. This is my first contact, and I wanted to let you know how happy it makes me to find a new podcast episode each time. I pretty much live from one to the next. So eager am I for Once Funship from old friends. While I listen to a good number of Once podcasts, and there's a lot more now, by the way, whole bunches, yours was the first found and the longest followed in my top two. Tied for number one. Thank you very much.
Nice, thanks.
It feels as if we are longtime friends from my side of iTunes because I meet with you so frequently and we share this amazing journey. It's funny how that works, and that is true.
That's very true.
There's life goes on and different changes through things. Mm-hmm. And it's funny meeting people that kind of feel like they have a kinship and you forget they've listened to you for hours talk.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, anyway, God bless you for listening.
Yeah, really.
So, it's kind of like a college course without the grades. So, anyway, thanks for hanging in there.
We should give out certificates. Anybody can prove that they've listened to us for that long.
Yeah, anyway. And that's what I always say. If people say they've started from the beginning, it's like there's a purple heart somewhere for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Just all the different
silver star.
Oh, something.
Yeah. Silver cross.
Something. I have this question that keeps coming up in my head: whether Balefire was signaled to stay low, prepare to hide, since the curse was broken. If the New York guy is Bay, maybe the postcard was a warning from someone who knows he does not want to see his father Rumpel. I mean, why should he, unless he thinks that his father has lost his powers? Based on the scenario, it would be interesting if Emma, former bail bondsman, is asked by Rumpel to find Bay. That's a very interesting point.
I'm actually fascinated by that whole theory of that it's a warning, not a, hey, it's safe to come back. It's a, hey, stay far away because it's broken. That's a very interesting concept of what would happen if he is, in fact, Bay, which is a very popular opinion and theory and wouldn't surprise me.
And it would fall in line with other things. Because,
you know,
it's interesting. One of the things I do for fun is kind of think about a place in Storybrooke, like the doorway to Mary Margaret's apartment. How many people have come through that door, knocked at the door for something, So, you know, it is interesting that Gold has come to ask Emma for help to find Ashley and on and on and on. And then now he comes back to ask Charming to find... So these things keep happening over and over. To me, it's a very Lost kind of a thing where the same type of thing happens over and over and over.
Yes.
The same type of situation. So anyway, that is that. But yeah, it's interesting that Emma would be asked again to find or maybe, you know, maybe Bay somehow signals to Rumpel something. But say, I'm not coming.
Yeah, possibly.
And then he'll say, look, you have to go get him. You have to find him. So,
yeah, who knows?
I don't think this will come at an easy price. This would not be frustrating enough for the viewer. That would not be frustrating enough for the viewers. So maybe her leaving might cause her to lose her memory of all things fairy tale.
I was, who, Emma?
Yeah.
And that's what I was about to say is now that Emma does have memories of fairy tale world, would she lose them? Which would be really, that's kind of weird because that I literally was just thinking that and then you continued. So that's kind of funny that, wow. Cause yeah, what would happen?
Yeah. And,
I mean, she's outside the curse technically cause she left before the curse happened. So would she, you know, would it not impact her the same way as it did, you know, say Sneezy?
Well, and that's another
thing.
Or
would it, because she is, you know, because she does have those memories?
I had written in some of my talking points for the episode is one of the things is keep a list of things, of people's gifts and people's non-gifts, right? Sneezy forgot his memory because he crossed the line.
Right.
Red has this sense of smell to follow people.
Right.
So as things progress, you might need that for something.
Right.
So keep that in mind. It is kind of like, I'm going to go off on a tangent. And I know, anyway, there's a game called The Lost Vikings. It was a video game. And each of the Vikings, there were three of them, and they traveled in a group. And what you had to do was use each one for their strength.
Right.
One could reach high, one could reach long, and the other could jump or do something, whatever. And you had to get through these different situations.
Right. You had different challenges where one would not be able to do it, but one of the other ones would.
Or you could work together to get all of the different parts done.
Gotcha. And it makes sense.
Right. So it's the same type of situation here. And keep that in mind because no one person, and we can see that, no one person can get one thing done.
Right.
You know, one of the things that comes to mind is obviously, you know, Regina could not enact a dark curse without the heart of her father, right? Kind of a morbid thought, but I mean, that's what I'm talking about is no one can do anything really on their own. They need
somebody else to help,
or something from someone else.
Right. Okay. Right. No, that totally makes sense.
All right. So
the only one who actually did break the curse though was by herself. I mean, technically, I guess you could say she had Henry's help.
Right. And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But I was going to say, other than that, Emma is one who would, you know, he knew that she needed a push, and that was the push, so.
Right.
Anyway.
Yep. All right. So I continue. So maybe her leaving might cause her to lose her memory of all things fairy tale, and maybe also Henry, but maybe not. she would, of course, not know her parents. A big sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing you were saying is you said, well, maybe they can, maybe the dwarves can teach Sneezy his past. And maybe that's one of the things is kind of like 50 First Dates in that you keep some type of a record somewhere and someone comes back by doing something heroic and rescuing someone and you sit them down and you say, okay, you are actually blah, blah, blah. And maybe it is Henry's book.
Yeah.
Right. And
we don't know. I mean, maybe the whole point is he'll get his memory back if what I'm considering, this is my opinion, is the barrier spell is broken.
Mm. So maybe someone, maybe Emma crosses a barrier, maybe forgets who she is, and then maybe the book disappears or something. And this is, you have to go get the book and all that. So I play a lot of video games, so it's kind of the pattern I'm kind of used to, and I see some of it here. You needed Dad's sword to go kill the dragon.
Right.
You couldn't do it with a gun. So anyway, all right. I continue. Regarding the crocodile, I guess that Cora and Hook intend to get back to their own worlds after taking out their revenges.
Mm-hmm.
Cora said something to Hook like the potion and the bean are not strong enough to take them to their final destination, but their first destination is Storybrooke. Did you hear that too? And I did. It takes a bean and the dust from the wardrobe. The dust doesn't come into play yet, but the bean will get to the safe haven.
Mm-hmm.
Then from there, they can take the boat around. It sounds like the Storybrooke. But then in Storybrooke, maybe that's where she uses something with gold to kind of get, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
So, but yeah. All right. I was surprised that Hook did not come off as tough, as the trailers indicated. Maybe now he's lost his true love. He has been made evil. You know, and again, it's that similar path of Regina and Hook.
Yeah.
So it's that similar path, lost their love the same way.
Right.
Heart gone. And actually, Emma as well.
Yeah.
So we're seeing...
We don't know if Grandma was her true love, though.
Well, okay. But
it was somebody she cared about. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. But we're seeing that the same thing.
Same theme.
Right.
Correct. And how is that impacting them? What is the outcome? Because Emma could have turned really mean and nasty and horrible after Graham died. Granted, she didn't know how he died. But do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Regina turned evil after the death of Daniel. And we can assume Hook turned evil after the death of Mila.
Mm-hmm.
So it would stand to reason that then Emma, who's kind of gone through a similar situation, could have theoretically turned evil. Why didn't she?
Right. And that's a really valid question. Because normally that's kind of what...
There's obviously more to it than that.
Right. Right.
That's what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. Of course, this must be so. We have witnessed this with Regina, Rumple, and Cora. Who knows who else? Heck, maybe the silly Wraith was once a nice little white ghost.
That's an interesting concept, too.
You know, and that is really a valid question.
Yeah.
Is what was, let's say... Just for conversation's sake, even let's take away the thing about the amulet not being around the neck of the one in the sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. Let's take that off the table.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's say there was only one Wraith, just for conversation's sake.
Right.
What if that was a fairy tale character cursed?
Oh, interesting.
And further, what if Philip's soul was sent to somewhere like Wonderland?
Oh, well, that's kind of an interesting concept.
So in a way, it was a portal
mm-hmm.
and not true death.
Yeah.
Again, you know.
Well, and then here's the other thing is that, you know, if the Wraith absorbs enough good souls, is it going to potentially turn good?
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, you did. I think I made you sit through it. I actually liked it. I thought it was a really good movie. Ghost Rider, Nicolas Cage.
That
was a great movie.
There were certain parts I enjoyed.
The first one. And the end of it was where Blackheart. Blackheart absorbed all the lost souls for the contract of Sam Vaganza. Mm-hmm. And he became, amplified evil.
Right.
Because those were, anyway, I think it's because the souls were not good souls. Maybe they weren't. I don't know.
Well,
but anyway, point being is that if you absorb the good, does that then turn you good, or does that just power the evil more? I don't know.
So we're definitely just kind of going off on a theory tangent right here. But
yeah, we are.
But I mean, if kind of what we're saying is true, then maybe it is powering some evil that we have not met yet.
Yeah, which is...
Possibly.
Yeah, which is a very real possibility, too. Because, again, we've talked about this from, you know, for the last couple of episodes, is that if Regina is going through a redemption period where she's going to, you know, abandon her evil ways and try to turn good, and, you know, I'm sure there will be bumps along the road, but if she eventually does end up good, then who's the evil character? Rumpel has the potential to also do the same, because it seems like he's on that same path now with Belle. So... Anyway.
Right. So...
I'm just saying, who's the evil? We talked about it being possibly Hook and Korra, maybe for now, but then as it goes on, you know, who else is going to crop up and maybe turn the other way?
Now, I want to bring this up is, you know, there's so many things that you have to kind of remember, and it gets tough. Mm-hmm. You know, I forget little things here and there.
Right.
But it's like, and big things sometimes. but there was something about... When you kill someone, you get all their power.
Well, that was with that arrow,
right?
That Rumpel gave to bow and arrow that Rumpel gave to mm-hmm. Snow, mm-hmm. and said, and basically told Charming, if she kills her, she will absorb her evilness.
Mm-hmm.
She'll take on her characteristics, and that was where he knew he had to stop it. Now, again. That could have been just a big fat lie to get him to jump in front of the arrow. You know, Rumpel would know what was going to happen because it was Cupid's arrow, which is what I tend to think it is. But anyway,
so what I'm thinking is, you know, this evil person or whoever, if they are getting these souls, mm-hmm. they are getting all the skill and knowledge and whatever of these people. So anyway, just a thought, but okay. So, I'll continue. Rumpel is in mucho trouble, so I am glad that Mr. Gold has magic. Does Mr. Gold have strong power? He can open doors and do a bunch of really interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. I know magic is different now. His character is so complex, and he portrays it wonderfully. He can seem so innocent and vulnerable, as he did when he was following Charming around while seeking Belle. Yet to hear how bad he has been, as when he was reminded of turning someone's father into a hog.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, it's, you know, what is it? Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get that kind of power, you got to watch it. You know, I'm mad at you. I'm going to turn you into a pig. You got to watch it. So
yes, and Robert Carlyle is a phenomenal actor.
He is.
But I'm a little biased.
I know. But yeah, you've been... Your love of him has been challenged lately.
Well, I don't know if it's challenged. It's just I got room for others now.
Yeah. Okay, I'll continue. I'm so thankful for this podcast, and after hearing how glad you are to know how important you and Colleen are, doggy too, from the most recent first-time contact, I felt it was the least I could do, even though I'm more comfortable in the background. Here again soon, Mike. So thank you so much. Appreciate that, Mike. Lots of great points.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, very good. Thank
and the
you.
Doggy just kind of rustled a bit. So
yeah, she's awake.
She heard you. Okay. So this next Oh, I wanted to talk about this really fast, and we'll read the next email. Is I looked at the what's the thing?
What thing?
The necklace that that Gold gave Belle in the dream.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I said, that looks familiar. And I compared it with Snow's necklace.
Oh, really?
In the pilot.
Oh.
And it's close, but it's not the same,
not the same
one.
Okay.
I had hoped for something, but yeah, it wasn't it. So I was excited, and then I wasn't excited.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. So this is from Holly. Hey, Jeff and Colleen, just found your podcast a while back and have been listening to the new episodes for season two, and going back to listen to the podcast from season one, I'm enjoying them very much. I don't have a chance to send in an email about the episode Crocodile before you did your recording, so I'm hoping that this gets to you before you do your in-depth look. A lot of background story on Rumpel. Not sure where I quite fall yet on what to think of Mila. Mr. French isn't going to be winning any Father of the Year awards anytime soon. Ain't that the truth? I have to say this. What is really interesting is people, I love the show because it does look at reality, human reality, but in this weird land where you could erase a daughter's remembrance of a bad guy.
Yeah.
If parents could do that these days, oh my gosh, are you kidding?
We'd have a lot of girls wandering around going, hey, do I know you?
Right, right. Yeah, I just, you know, watching that Modern Family, I'm pretty sure that they would, the oldest daughter.
Yeah, they would definitely.
Dylan keeps showing, anyway. It's just, but yeah, it's just, like it's that. Interesting to think about, what if you lived there, and what if you had that type of magic at your disposal? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the stories in Once Upon a Time are like Fantasy Island. It's like, be careful
what you wish
what
for.
You're asking. Because you think right now this is a good idea. It's really not. It's, you know, and so, and they do the quote, you know, magic comes with a price, which in the same way is be careful what you wish for.
Right. The frying pan may seem hot, but you don't want to jump into the fire necessarily.
Yep. Yep. All right. So Mr. Gold asking for help dating advice from David Charming had me chuckling. And it's true because David was such a loser, had made so many bad mistakes.
Oh, dude.
You know, but I think obviously the We Are Both, which is probably one of my favorite speeches I've heard in a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I loved Matthew Fox's one and you know, either, you know, We Stand Together, We Die Alone.
Together, Die Alone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm really not a good Lost fan, am I? I can't remember anything.
Well, it's been a while since we've watched it, so, you know.
Yeah. But anyway, I think that would stir anyone to say, hey, can you help me? I really am having trouble here. I have this beautiful woman with these fantastic legs walking around. You've seen her in the high heel shoes? Good Lord. Anyway, I'm having a really rough time. Can you help me? Because, you know, you seem to kind of go through that I woof you card and all those problems and all that, and you're still together. Wow, that's something.
Yeah. It was kind of cute to see Rumpel get a little, or Mr. Gold, I should say, get a little, kind of like go back to his unsure, timid self, humble self.
Yeah.
Because he loves Belle enough that he wants to make it work. I thought that was really cute.
Yeah, and, yeah.
But I do agree with you. I think that David is, he's really stepping up, and he's take charge guy, but there's still that vulnerability and that, you know, he's still not 100% sure what to do, but he's at least making better efforts than he did before and making better choices. So,
well, it's, you know, and I mentioned that at the last live show, when we looked at the last episode, maybe it was in the first thoughts of the finale of season one.
Yeah.
I said, love is going to break Mr. Gold.
Yep.
That's going to be the check and the balance. It's because up to this point, he's been alone because he thought that she was dead for all those years, you know, That's another thing about Robert Carlyle. He's a pointer.
Yes.
He was. You mean she was alive for all this time? But he's
it's
a pointer.
Because that's because Robert specifically uses very dramatic.
Yeah.
He's got that down. He's very good at incorporating the.
He sneers and he points. And
he does.
When that happens, you know he means what he's saying. So.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
All right. Rumpelstiltskin was really channeling his inner Darth Vader when he put the chokehold on Smee when they first met to talk about the magic bean. That's true. I also wanted to say this. I wonder if Mila talked to Hook to send Smee there to get that bean.
Hmm.
Because nothing in this show happens.
Oh, yeah, there's no coincidence. Nothing. No.
So
no,
I'm pretty sure that they cooked up this idea. Say, look, the Dark One's here. Okay, I have an idea. I'm pretty certain he wants that magic bean to get to find Bay, whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you go and you tell him, because we've got it. You go, you tell him you can find it and just whatever. And you have him make a deal, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, she probably told him that backstory about him.
Yeah, possibly.
And I'm certain, pretty certain that that's where he learned all that stuff about him.
Yeah.
So it was a setup from the very beginning. You know, we talk a lot about Rumpel setting Regina up. I think for the first time, well, maybe not the first time, but a major time, somebody set up Rumpel. Big time. And the only one that could do it is somebody that he loved.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about that. I just said, this guy just happens to, you know, and he said, you must have really tried hard to meet with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what all that meant.
Yeah,
but anyway,
I wanted to
talk about that. So, really love the scene at the end when Gold Rumpel opened up to Belle about why he did, and is doing the things that he is. And yeah, you had mentioned the Beauty and the Beast correlation between the two, the show and the film, the animated film, and I think. I really really enjoy the vulnerability of Gold saying that I'm going to give you your, not a happy ending, but I'm going to make your wish come true. I know this is important to you.
Mm-hmm.
So important that I'm going to make sure it happens. No strings from me, I would hope.
Right.
No strings from me.
Right.
I don't want anything from you.
Right.
But I love you so much that I want your happiness, even if it means I'm out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And that sounds like a cheesy end high school romance speech, but I hope that this is real.
I do too.
That he means it.
I do too. He seemed very sincere, and you know, I mean, hopefully he's not messing with her head or her heart, because that would be really sucky.
Yeah. So, you know, what I see, it's really interesting. I call the end of season one a reset for me. That's what I called it, is things kind of reset and you had a chance to do things again,
right,
over.
Right.
And now we see kind of a reset with Regina, with Henry. Say, look, you can go stay with, you know, Gramps. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay here. Let's try it again. Let's start over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Mr. Gold is saying. Let's start over, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. Also, can I say way to go, Ruby? It is really cool that people are really kind of not only stepping into their role. Charming is the leader. Snow is the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And Gold is taking a step back, and also
right.
Regina, in a way, from their normal ways, to really look at life in a different way, because they have found that it is really hurting the things that they really love, these relationships. And so they're taking a step back, taking another look at things, and, you know, but taking their place. You know, the dwarves are back digging in the mines, which is what they've done before.
Yeah.
For their brother that needed some help. You know, when Dreamy wanted to leave, they didn't say, don't go. I mean, the only thing Stealthy said is, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah.
I can help you. You know, Bossy was the one that, you know, caused the trouble. And then right. The Blue Fairy kind of said, yeah. You don't want to do that.
Right.
But, you know, the Brotherhood of the Dwarves now working, you know, to get Sneezy's past memories back.
Because they are brothers.
Right. Yeah.
They're technically septuplets.
Yeah. So, Ruby is getting her, finding her place.
Mm-hmm.
And
she is.
Another thing I wrote in my notes is Ruby actually fulfilled one of the jobs that she was offered and said she couldn't do. If you remember, Henry said there was two things: a delivery person,
mm-hmm.
you get on a bike and you deliver stuff,
right?
Or there was a messenger without a bike where
right.
you take things in a basket to people,
right?
And she's fulfilling that
mm-hmm.
Now. So anyway, kind of neat.
Which was funny because delivering things in a basket is Little Red Riding Hood, by the way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So,
known as Little Lady.
Little Lady. That's right. Mm-hmm. Who is now kind of awake and walking around a little bit. I knew it.
She's back in her bed.
Yep.
She's going to nap again.
Okay. Way to use her powers. Way to use those powers of yours to find Belle. I think she meant hers, but yep. Yep. A bit of a tangent, we'll come back, is when she had hay fever or allergies that stopped her, that mm-hmm. reminded me of Revolution. And that was the Achilles heel of the hero's son, the hay fever.
The Achilles heel?
Yeah, that.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm just...
Yes.
We don't watch too many shows like all the time and stuff, but,
no, but
Revolution
yeah.
we do
Revolution's
watch,
pretty so. Awesome. We love it.
And Walking Dead.
And yeah, that too.
And Shark Tank.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Anyway. Survivor.
Okay. All right. Hook and Cora teaming up in the safe haven where Snow and Emma are trapped has me just a little bit nervous. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
say that again?
Hook and Cora... teaming up in the safe haven where Snow and M are trapped has me just a little nervous.
Definitely.
I don't blame you
definitely.
A bit.
Definitely. But you know what, though? Snow's pretty darn resourceful. I think she will actually somehow manage to get herself out of trouble. And I think Mulan will help. And Aurora may step up to the plate and help out, too. I really hope so, because so far I'm not really keen on Aurora. And that's my favorite Disney princess.
I just hold on.
Mm-hmm.
She has not stepped into her own.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm hoping that she does.
I think she will.
But I'm just saying, right now, not fond of her.
Okay. All right.
The actress is lovely.
There's a few people.
But I'm not fond of the character
right
now.
Camp. I know.
And that's right. Because, honestly, she's just been kind of prissy. And that's not Aurora. That's not the Aurora I know.
Okay.
Anyway.
But everyone has their spot.
I know. Right. It's all good.
All right. Plus I'm wondering at what point in time this meetup took place. Oh, in the timeline.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it's kind of, that's part of this, which I thought was going to be a little confusing this season. And it is kind of like, you have to remember, okay, wait, where are they in the timeline?
Right.
Because some of the stuff is past, some of the stuff is present, but it looks like it's past. And you have to kind of keep tabs on, okay, so if it's Snow and Mary Margaret, it's the same timeline as everybody else in Storybrooke. And if there's no Snow and Mary Margaret there, if it's something else, then it's obviously flashbacks of sorts.
Yeah. The minute the timeline kind of came up in the show...
Mm-hmm.
I thought about it for 2 seconds and I went, I'm not going to make one. I don't know.
Oh, dude.
That's just, no.
Trying to keep track of it now would be scary. Mm-hmm.
No. Because we know there's multiple Ogre Wars and which one. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So, you know, more power to those who do, and it's not me. So, but that's a valid question, and I don't know.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay. So I'm wondering if we aren't going to have a battle royale for the season 2 finale with Rumple and Regina working together to stop Hook and Cora.
I think that's
more than likely.
Very possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see how this season plays out. It really is.
And can you imagine the two sides, the Hook and the Cora side and the Rumple and Regina side, kind of pleading with Regina, let's say, just Regina, to choose one or the other?
Oh, dude. Her mother gets there, and Regina, I think Regina will go to not only Rumple, I think she's going to try and pull the townspeople in. And that's going to be interesting to see who's going to fight for her, who's going to try and fight against her.
Yep.
Because remember, a lot of them are still mad enough at her, they want her gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of plays, because we don't know who's going to choose which sides based on, and again, we're speculating because, you know, we don't know, but seeing as it's a very plausible possibility, if in fact they go down this path and this is how it turns out, then I would suspect we may see some characters choose Hook and Cora that we probably wouldn't expect to see.
Well, and I think with magic back, I think we're going to see more of like we saw with The Thing You Love Most. This kind of power push and power shove and all this really incredible magic stuff that I really enjoyed. I mean, I thought I was watching a Star Wars movie there for a second.
Going,
man, these two ladies have Jedi power and they're just going Sith power and they're going just, man. So, hopefully we see a little more of that. Cause I think it's cool. I will finish up this email here. Looking forward to hearing more of your thoughts and other listeners as well. Big love to everyone. Holly from Wisconsin. Big love back to you, Holly. That was a great email. Lots of really, really cool points. So with that, we're going to end
the first hour
of our live show. And I want to send big love out to everybody. And thank you so much for listening, downloading, however you got here, however you interact with us. I want to thank you so much for that, and we will be talking to you soon. So hang around if you're still in the chat room listening. Just hang around. But as far as hour one goes, this is it. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.